Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pokeballs podcast. My name is Lee. You are joined by myself, my good self, and also my good fellow compadriot, I guess.
Compadre.
How are you doing? Totally messed that up. But anyway, welcome to, it's episode 29. Welcome to this week. I'm excited because we've got some good news today. We've got lots of topics to talk about, and we're not in the rain in Lille, which is another plus where we were last time. So, Scott, how are you doing, mate? How are you this fine week?
I'm good. I started a new job recently, so, you know, I'm getting in more of like a better mindset. I'm getting out of the house, you know, socialising, meeting people, speaking to people on a daily basis, so that's good.
That's good.
You know, good. Excited. You know, there are good things to come up. You know, we'll touch on what we're going to talk about in a minute. I do want to apologise for the... You know, we missed 2 weeks of podcast, you know. We took a break originally because we weren't sure what we wanted to do. And we struck, sometimes it's just good to think about what we're doing. We're not really changing much. But, you know, obviously we're away, so we wanted to do an episode in person. We're going to do the same again because I'll be going to Gdansk and I believe Lee might be as well. So, you know, we're hopefully going to get one done there as well. But obviously, it has been a bit quiet, as we mentioned in the last podcast. So, you know, it's good to do podcasts, but sometimes we're not going to skip them like we have been. But, you know, it was a quiet time. So that's why we felt it would be appropriate to take that break when we did. But we've got a lot more stuff going on now. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Not trying to be negative or anything, but, you know, we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to now.
Not neggy at all, mate. Don't worry about it.
In this week's pod, we're going to touch on... So we got the Indigo Disc release date. That was actually yesterday for you guys, today for us, because we were recording this on Thursday night. Indigo Disc release date has been announced. It is the 14th of December. So whoop-dee-doo, baby. It's about time. So that's very exciting. We've got Nintendo. They released... they applied for a very interesting patent that we can dive into. We've got the black and white, some interesting black and white 3 rumors / next gen Pokemon game coming up as well. There were some really interesting theories coming out on Twitter. And then apart from that, we've also got some loads of TCG news. Paradox Rift is out, and, you know, I've got some interesting stories about some collectibles, about some PSA cards and some cards that I've picked up recently. So we'll dive into that, and yeah, that's pretty much it. A few other things we'll get into, but, you know.
And the biggest thing, make sure you stay to the end, because I can see on this list we've got some Scott's goodie bag stuff. So we'll always touch on that right at the end of the episode. My
right
favorite
to the
part,
end, baby.
After we've got through the meat and bones
of the
podcast.
It's a really cute little Scott's goodie bag as well. So you'll like it.
Excellent.
I like it. But into the meat and two veg, shall we? We'll dive straight in. We got an announcement today. Indigo Disc, 14th of December.
Mm-hmm.
Now, out of the blue, Shadow dropped. You know, for a long time, it felt like to us they didn't really. We got the impression they didn't have an actual date yet. You know, they've had that placeholder date of the 29th of April, wherever the 30th of April, wherever it was. You know, and we've been like, it's got to be this year, right? It felt like it was coming by the end of the year. We've been saying it for a long time. You know, we could have been wrong, but it felt like it was coming. So we have got it. You know, I think we were definitely right. I don't think they knew when they wanted to drop it yet. So, you know, they obviously decided that they kind of do need to release it before January. Because, you know, particularly for competitive Pokemon, the regulation changes and they can't really do anything unless they release the DLC. And they could do stuff, but it's just a bit, you know, it'd make for a kind of lackluster format change. So, you know, we got that, which is probably one of the main driving forces of it. And also, you know, the hype for the Tilmar was, you know, somewhat lackluster, you know. And I feel like with Christmas coming up, maybe DLC is not something that they can sell the physical versions of, but, you know, they're selling those. The physical versions come out yesterday. No, tomorrow. Those physical versions with the DLC come out tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's today for you guys. So it makes sense we might get a trailer soon. So you know,
I think that's very likely. I think they're dropping that. It would make sense to drop something at the time when these go live. So maybe as of you viewing this, obviously, like Scott said, we're recording this Thursday night. We might get something tomorrow, which would be Friday the 3rd, when these are released, to kind of complement the release of these. And then confirm that release date in some sort of trailer for it. It might happen tomorrow. It might be at some point next week. But you would think that they're likely going to have a trailer of some sort. Or they might have some other tactile plan that we have no idea about, which they're kind of hooking up. Who knows? It's just a bit of a strange situation to get it dropped today when they could have really just waited for the release of those physical copies to drop tomorrow, right? And say, this is now available, yay, and the release date is dot, 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 dot. You know what I mean? Rather than drop it randomly today, which just feels
But again, very it strange. Feels like a last minute kind of rash decision to be like, oh, fuck, we should announce it soon. Because they could have done something, you know, they could have done like, even just like a small video of like the Teal Mask with the date and then trailer coming tomorrow or soon. You know, that would hype the shit out of everyone, right? But it's like shadow dropping it is, like, it's a strange, I don't know what they're doing. It just feels very sort of last minute decision.
Not a lot going on. I'm just looking actually as well, and I wonder if, do you know when, since we had the teal mask dropped, then we had a 2 week break. And then we had the Hisuian Decidueye 7-star raid. And I know I'm diverging or like going off tangent a minute, but this might make sense. Now we've had another 2 week break since the Hisuian Decidueye. And then we're getting the Hisuian Typhlosion, right? So after the Hisuian Typhlosion finishes on the weekend of the 10th, if we have a 2 week break, it's going to fall on the 1st and then the 8th of December. And then the week after that finishes is going to be when the DLC drops. So I think now, knowing that date, we're only going to get 3 7-star terror raid events between the Teal Mask and the Indigo Disc. I don't think we're going to get anything else until the Indigo Disc drops. So that would make sense. And maybe we get one more mass outbreak event. Maybe.
Yeah, because we've got just the Hisuian Typhlosion one. Will be live. It's live tonight.
Tonight,
for you guys tomorrow. So it'll be, I mean, it's it's a strange one. We were talking briefly before the pod about it. You know, the hype for this terror raid seems to be a bit like the hype for the terror raids, you know, have fluctuated. You know, obviously, there's a lot of hype there when Scarlet and Violet first come out, you know, and it's gone up and down depending on the raid Pokemon. Obviously, the Mewtwo was very hyped up because it was a really cool raid. It was really difficult. All those things we wanted, right? And we had the Hisuian Decidueye one, you know, 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it was relatively hyped, you know. A lot of people, based on the views, a lot of people were interested in it. And I don't know whether it's just, like, people don't really care about Hisuian Typhlosion, whether it's, you know, particularly special, I don't know. But it makes you feel like we'll probably get, we had Hisui somewhere. Yeah.
No, that's the one.
So we'll
to I think
get
that'll
that
be the
last
one.
And then
I think
Indigo they'll probably Disc. Do some maybe random ones before the Indigo Disc. If they do another one before the Indigo Disc, I don't know.
The thing is they've got 6 weeks. So really, when you discount, you know, this week, next week, then it takes down to 4 weeks. So you're only gonna get, if they do one every single week for 2 weeks, they're only gonna get one additional one in before the Indigo Disc if they're doing Samurai as well. That's why I think they'll do the 2 week break like they've already done and then do the Hisuian Samurott, and that is going to be it, which will leave, I think, 3 more to do. No, it won't. I don't know. I don't know how many slots are left. So if they do that, then there are 3. Yeah, I think there's 3 more slots after that, and then all 19 types are then complete.
Yeah.
And you've got to say Venusaur Blastoise have to be 2 of them to complete the Charizard Gen 1 line, because they're not going to not drop those in 7-star terror raids. But then
I think they'll do a special Christmas terror raid.
But who with? Like Delibird. I mean, it's not going to be a 7-star raid, is it?
Yeah. I don't know. You're right. It would have to
they
be.
They might do a spe- And I don't. I think February's too far away to kind of leave. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. You know, they might start the 7-star terror raids in January. And you've got 2 Venusaur Blastoise over January, and then you've got 1 on Pokemon Day on like mid February, you know? So, potentially.
We'll have to wait and see, won't we? But the terror raids are interesting because they've become, you know, we were introduced to raid dens in Sword and Shield, which were essentially terror raids, right? They're early versions of, or at least an adaptation of raid dens, right? That's what terror raids are. You know, and it's become more like a big part of the Scarlet and Violet. So I do think it's cool, the fact that, you know, it's a cool concept or idea because it keeps like a continuation of events happening within the game after the sort of the hype has died down, which is essentially, you know, what has happened between, you know, it keeps you somewhat engaged between, like, especially if you're a collector, between, you know, the release of the game and the release of the next one, because there's always that quiet period, as you know, we've had that period in the summer where there was like nothing before Worlds and stuff like that. So it's very interesting that we get this kind of mechanic that we can explore. But, you know, with the release of the Indigo Disc, we're going to pretty much have most of the Pokemon, well, not all of them, but most Pokemon available. So, you know, what direction they take it in. I think the mythical Pokemon and legendary Pokemon are a really fun way. You know, we had the Max Raid Dens or Dynamax Adventures, right, for the legendaries in Crown Tundra?
So,
you know, will we get like terror raids for all the, imagine if they're terror raids to catch the Pokemon.
That'd be cool. A way to summon a 7-star terror raid den in it is a legendary or something like that, you know, and you get one chance to catch them. You can repeat them as many times as you want, but you can catch it once because it's like a legendary and it has, you know, 7-star mark. It'd be kind of cool to do that. And then I guess if it's an in-game event where you can activate it anytime you want by fulfilling certain things in the game, then that kind of, it doesn't restrict people being able to get the legendary Pokemon, whereas holding them as kind of one-off events online kind of does, because if you miss that event, then you miss that legendary, which I can't see them doing it that way. But I don't know. I think all in all, the Dynamax raids were the start of it, and I think they improved that for online for event purposes in Scarlet and Violet. And I think the Terror Raids have been a real big success for Scarlet and Violet, especially to keep the interest, like you say, in the games, you know, keeping that like momentum going with the games, keeping that kind of longevity, the playing time of the games, because a lot of people are still playing the games, you know. And, you know, the Teal Mask, we've already talked about, there aren't really much to do in the Teal Mask. You can kind of finish that up pretty much in a week if you're playing it like non-stop. So yeah, the Indigo Disc, I do feel like, will be a lot bigger. There'll probably be a lot more things to play around with. There'll probably be a lot more post-game content after it. But yeah, I think it'll carry us into February. But whether or not we'll see some special raids, like you say, it would be amazing to see mythicals kind of make an appearance. But I just think on the current timeline that we've got and this new release date, feels like we're not going to get anything more than that Samurott after the Hisuian Typhlosion.
I agree. And then, I feel like that's kind of it.
And then we'll see what the Indigo Disc brings when that drops. Because obviously, there has been stuff going on in the background which we don't know about that is delayed this, right? Because why are we getting a date so late and Shadow Drops randomly? So
it does make
whatever.
It's Pokemon are such an interesting company. I feel like, you know, shit happens, right? We understand that, you know, it must be stressful trying to, you know, I know they've got loads of money and I know it's really easy to moan about companies that have a shit ton of money and, you know, people in general, you know, because, you know, oh, they've got the money, it doesn't matter. But it's not, you know, if you just look at the games, for example, like, they have had their problems, you know, whether that's their fault or not, you know, I think it's definitely, you know, they definitely are partly to blame for, like, you know, the poor performance and stuff like that. But it does make you feel like, are they panicking? You know, because it's interesting, if we just take a tangent and look at Nintendo, right? You know, it feels like they panicked. You know, it feels like they were going to do a second-gen Switch, but they weren't sure when they were going to do it. They were just sort of waiting whilst the Switch was still doing well. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed it in the last week or so. They're trying to dump stock, like Switch stock, because it's been declining. And they've been doing game bundles, which they've never done before.
Yeah.
I've been seeing
advertised everywhere.
Yeah, price has gone down, which they've never dropped the price of it.
I think you could pick up an, you know, the new Mario, I think it was to celebrate Mario Wonder, they did the new Mario OLED, which is all red. It looks really nice. I saw that on sale the other day for £280.
That's really good.
For the OLED version. And I was like, wow, I've never seen an OLED that cheap. And this model's just come out. You're right, like, they are just slashing prices all over the place for these.
They're panic dumping, 100%. They're panic dumping.
Yeah.
And so to that extent, you know, we'll touch on that briefly after. But you know, I feel like, you know, they've got a lot more competition now in Nintendo, for example. And so
I showed you that video as well, mate. You know, when we were in Lille, and it was that. I think he's a Japanese creator, or he's a he speaks Japanese.
He
accessed that job board in Japan that was specifically for Game Freak, and he was going through the feedback from employees about Game Freak, and you have to be a registered professional to be on this board. So it's not like just randoms. It's not like Reddit or something where any, like me or you, could just go onto this board and just post a comment about it. These are all genuine employees from Game Freak.
Japanese employees.
Reviewing the company, reviewing what it's like as an employee to work in Game Freak, especially in Pokemon games. A lot of that's talked about in the video. And the common trend from those comments was there was not enough staff. They were way overworked, and deadlines were put in place that they were forced to meet regardless of if something was running properly or not. And there was one comment from, I think it was someone higher up. I don't know whether it was in Nintendo or Game Freak, so don't quote me on this, but the comment itself was basically along the lines was, doesn't matter what the performance is like, because we know it's going to sell.
I mean,
and it's something that we've said before on here.
Scarlet and Violet has proved that.
Yeah, and it's sad because, you know, I was sitting down with Thea tonight, and she's been wanting to play, and she sat down and we started on a spare Switch I've got. I've got a spare copy of Scarlet, and we sat down and we started a new game on Scarlet with her. She's 4 years old, right? And she can't really read. She's starting to read, so she didn't really get it. So I'm reading the text for her and things like that. All she was concerned about was getting Sprigatito. But just watching her play the first like part of the game, getting to the school, which she managed to do all by herself. So I'm like, there's hope there.
Was this docked?
She might be good. No.
This was handheld.
Okay. And it was just me watching her play the game was just like, I love this game so much. It's so, like, the music's great, the story's great, but then you delve deeper and there's all these problems, and it's like it spoils what is a really good game just because of like the performance issues. But I honestly was, before we came on to the call, I was standing getting a drink in the kitchen. I was like, I think Scarlet and Violet probably is one of my all-time favorite Pokemon games.
I actually agree with you, and the problem is the performance issues massively understate how good the game is. Like, speaking to people about it, you know, they're like, oh yeah, it performs badly. Like, it's obviously, you know, as we've said like 100 times, obviously it's bad, you know, but it's a common theme amongst video games now. They're just being released unoptimized, you know. Fucking City Skylines got released recently and it wasn't running at fucking 60 FPS on a 4090, you know. game companies just don't give a shit, or they're just under pressure from board members to release a game so they can get their cut of money or whatever the fuck it is. And yeah. like I said, I think they've shot themselves in the foot with their own release schedule, Pokemon, yeah. and that's why they've been struggling.
And it's not just the performance, right? It's the long line of, like, hiccups along the way, fumbles along the way. You know, we had the Terror Raid event earlier in the year, right? We've had so many things go wrong, from live events going live and then issues happening in the game, updates.
Even on Worlds, right? You know, with the spectator mode.
Well, yeah.
Let's not dive into that, but...
I could tell some stories about that, but I can't really, because obviously I can't talk about it. But just know that it's probably under the same sort of umbrella as everything else, really, with the spectator mode.
Spectator mode, for those of you who don't know, is kind of self-explanatory, but it makes streaming and watching a competitive battle on, like, for a Switch game, they had it for Scarlet, for Sword and Shield, makes it a lot easier for commentators, and it's a better camera angle, and it's slightly different to what you see in games, basically. It's much better. And
it's better for viewers as well. It's just, yeah, generally, just like, it's not just from one side, which normally the game is from. It's an overview. It is a spectator mode. It's specifically there to be...
it's like a camera, like in a sports game, right?
Yeah,
it's a better view, but we don't have it in Scarlet and Violet, and they used it, trialed it, or whatever the fuck they wanted to actually try and use it at Worlds, and it didn't go as well as they had hoped.
And like, even when you get down to like the finer points, right? And sorry, jumping in there, but when you look down at the finer points in Scarlet and Violet as well, you look at like the battle systems that they got in place. They haven't even got battle box locking. Like, that was such a fundamental thing in every single gen that I, as far back as I can think, they've had battle box locking. And I mean, we're going back to like Soul Silver, Heart Gold, Soul Silver. They had battle box locking in those games. Like, and they just, for some reason, just didn't put them in Scarlet and Violet when it's been such a necessity for the competitive scene, right? For so many years. And it's just like, they obviously didn't have time to do it. They didn't have time to put that in because it's not something that it would just...
It's not priority for them, is it?
Yeah.
Because it's realistically...
so many problems in the competitive scene. Like, you know, you really, in one way, one good thing that's come out of it is open team sheets, right? But it's forced the point of having open team sheets. It's forced the point of having RK9 Labs and having to fill your teams in and all that jazz beforehand. It's like, it's just created so many different issues on top just from that one thing. And like you say, it probably is down to... directors and people in higher up positions putting in deadlines to hit targets, and it just makes it impossible when you haven't got the workforce to kind of back it up. Because I'm sure,
like I said, if you're one of those board of directors and you're looking at the sales numbers, we're like, well, this game has broken every single record for a Pokemon game, the Switch is still selling well,
like, from your boss is going to be like, you're doing great,
you're doing well. And so why would they want to change anything? They're not going to, like, think about it from that makes, like, you know, you can't blame them for thinking that way, but they might not think this way. We don't know. We can only speculate because they're such a tight-lipped company. They don't fucking say anything, do they? But, you know, I do find it interesting how, like, like the competitive aspect of it, I don't want to harp on it for too long, but is the driving force for, like, whenever a new game comes out, but also isn't. Like, they have to think about the shit that they do because Nintendo doesn't have another eSport, right? Pokemon is their premier game, right? It's the only one that has an eSport. It's the only one that can really have it that they have. You know, you could have, well, it's like Smash exists, right? But
there is
it's not on the same level.
Well,
It could be, but they just fucking... hate the Smash community for some reason.
The moves they've made recently just are baffling.
So,
it
just seems interesting, like, you know, they have to, whatever gimmick they do, they have to think about how it will affect competitive play. You know, the Pokemon that they introduce, how it's going to impact competitive play, like Incineroar, they definitely thought about adding it in and then was like, let's save it for the DLC. Because it has a big, Incineroar is like, in VGC is the, like, it was like the most used Pokemon in GS Cup Worlds, so with like legendaries, That's how good it was. And it's like Among Us, right? Among Us is such a good Pokemon. Terrastalization just makes it even better. And so it's going to be broken as hell. When it comes in the Indigo Disc, it's coming. So it's going to be on every single team because it's so good. It gets Intimidate. Its typing is really good. It can now Terrastalize. It gets Fake Out. Its defenses are really good. It gets Parting Shot, Knock Off. It's just insanely good. It's just broken. So, you know, things like that must obviously impact, you know, the game, even though realistically the market that they're selling that to is like probably less than 1%, I'd imagine, of the people buying Scarlet and Violet, right? Of the people that play competitive Pokemon. So, you know, but back to my original point that I wanted to get into. Sorry, I am rambling a bit. But, like, it feels like maybe with, you know, maybe they are worried about their next release, whatever it is next year. Maybe that's why they're panicking. Maybe that's why they've kind of put, like, the Indigo Disc on the back burner because they've got more things to worry about. You know, it feels like, maybe, again, with the dumping of all the Switches, you know, it's obviously all related. You know, that's coming out soon, so they're going to be worried about that. You know, the board of directors that probably have their fingers linked to, you know, that are probably on the board of directors of Pokemon are probably on the same board of directors for Nintendo, because the Pokemon company is a weird amalgamation of, you know, it's a weird group effort between, like, Game Freak and Pokemon and Nintendo. They've all, and Creatures Inc., they've all got their own little piece of the pie. So there's probably a lot of pressure, you know, the release of that. You know, we don't know whether this could be the release game. If they decide they want to release game, as we've discussed on this, this could be the game that they push with the new console. They might not have one, but, you know, Pokemon is such a big IP. I don't think it'll be Mario Kart. I don't know. It'll be a Mario game. If they do a launch title, I think you're right. It will be some sort of Mario game, or it will be Pokemon, whatever iteration it ends up being. But, you know,
the only thing about a Mario game is there's just been a lot of Mario games recently. You know, you've got the Mario Wonder, then you've got next month, or this month, you've got Mario RPG. And then in January or February, you've got, like, the Peach game. It just feels like there's a lot of things going on at the minute with Mario, and it feels like, wow, if they're doing all this, have they got time to work on, like, Odyssey 2 or whatever it will be if their new Switch is coming out? Whereas Mario Kart, we've had Mario Kart 8 for the lifetime of the Switch since 2016.
They just released another DLC pack as well.
Yeah, and I could see them maybe doing, you know, Mario Kart 9.
But if it's backwards compatible, I don't know, what can they do?
Well, that's true.
Make more tracks? Like, it seems the rumours point heavily to a seamless transition to the new console, which points to, you know, which leads on to various things, you know, possible cloud saves. It seems like, pretty much confirmed, it's going to be backwards compatible. You know, I don't think they can afford to make it not backwards compatible. But like you said, they can do what the 3DS did and just make the new cartridges not unplayable on the old consoles by having a little edge on it. But, you know,
I guess the one thing they could do to, like, really knock it out the park, if they were to do, like, a Pokemon game as a release title, which would be very cool as Pokemon fans, be something I would love to see. I'd be hesitant on how successful it would be in the overall Switch kind of universe.
The thing is, you look at the release of Scarlet and Violet, you know, how popular that game has been. So I feel like, depending on the, you know, we can touch on these rumors in a minute.
All I was going to say, though, was,
sorry,
I think
I cut you off.
They could knock it out of the park by releasing, say it's Black and White 3. Let's just say it's Black and White 3, right? They could say, release Black and White 3. Because it's backwards compatible, you've now got access to Pokemon Black, Pokemon White, as a physical release, right? A physical cart as a Switch release, which they release slightly earlier in the year, Black and White 3 coming out.
What about a Master Cart? Could you imagine how sick that would be, that had all three games on it or something?
That would be cool. I reckon they would probably do that in the end, you know? But I think they might do a Master Cart with 1 and 2 on it to begin with as a release.
Yeah.
And then they release that, say, in, like, July time. And then they have the big release, the new Switch, in November, maybe, if that's the timeline. I don't know. But I think that would knock it out the park, because then it gives everyone that's never played Black and White a chance to play it on, like, and these Black and White games could be, they could be being developed by Ilka for the Switch, right? So while Game Freak themselves have been working on Black and White 3, Ilka have been working on the faithful remakes of Black and White and Black and White 2, which are going to be released way earlier in the year. So for all the fans that have never played it, and for those that are us that are nostalgic, get the chance to play it again in time to the run-up for Black and White 3's release. And that would be insane. And I think the hype of that timeline would be, that would work. But it's a lot to ask.
It's
and
very
it feels
saucy.
Like,
very saucy.
It feels like too much, you know? I'm like, it's never going to happen.
No, I think you're right, you know, as we touched on it, it feels like, you know, Pokemon, you know, as I was briefly saying, Scarlet and Violet was such a popular release, and they've got this opportunity now. What has been the biggest complaint with every Pokemon game, or the last two Pokemon games that have been on the Switch? It runs like shit. So they've got this opportunity to release a Pokemon game with the launch of the new console that runs potentially amazing. Doesn't even have to look well. I think the biggest thing, does it run well? Is it a good story? Is it a good game? Does it run well? Doesn't have to look amazing, providing it runs really well. You know, if I mean, people will still come out and fucking moan, because people love to moan. Any excuse to moan about Pokemon games, the people will do it anyway. It could run amazing. The storyline could be amazing. It doesn't look like a next-gen Pokemon game. Why has it not got ray tracing? And why does the light not bounce off my Pikachu's face when he walks through the forest? Like, I don't give a shit about that, okay? Make it run well. Make it look
it's
semi-decent.
So true, though.
You know?
Yeah, you could make it as perfect can be, and you're always going to have someone complaining about it, you know? We'll see what happens. I think it's all exciting regardless. We've talked on this for such a long time. It's going to be really nice to see how it does pan out. And we don't really have that long to wait now, because February, we know if there is something coming next year, that's going to be the date where we get it. Pokemon Day.
We'll get it there.
It's going to be so hype to see what they announce on Pokemon Day. So it's it's gonna be very fun.
We had this. There was this image from, I think it was from 4chan, that was circulating. You sent it to me recently. I don't know if anyone's seen this, but just to round up all these Pokemon, these Black and White rumors. But there was this leak on 4chan. Is it 4chan? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like 4chan.
That's from 4chan.
Basically,
yeah.
Speculating, or is a leak? We obviously don't know. It's 4chan. Basically saying that the Black and White iteration of the game will release at the end of the year, next year. Wait, what? By the end of next year? Yeah, no, obviously, yeah, next year. By the end of next year.
I love how that confused you.
Yeah, because I was like, it's meant to be this year, no. But it's not going to be a sequel, but like a side story / retelling. The game will serve as a remake of Pokemon Black and White. Not a one-to-one, but a new iteration of the story taking place in Unova, which would make a lot of sense if they're trying to make it a main series game, right?
Yeah,
because as we discussed, not everyone has played Black and White 1 and 2. Map could also be changed. Some characters are the same but different. Pokemon Dex will contain more than just the Unova Dex, but it won't have Terrestrialization, because, you know, I don't think they would do that. They could do that, you know, like I said, with Auras. You know, it had Megas after they just introduced it, so they could find a way to squeeze it in. Which, you know, I think would make sense, especially as, you know, the Indigo Disc takes place in Universe, so that would make sense.
Or you just bring Megas back and then everyone would just...
No, they're not bringing back Megas until the X and Y remake. We know that. We've discussed that.
Yeah, but, you know, that would be one way for them to...
That's how you get everyone. Everyone loves Megas.
Everyone on side then, wouldn't they? Yeah.
No way, Megas! The gems come back, and then the last one, which I think was quite interesting, is...
What does this post say? The gems come back?
Yeah, elemental gems. But
wow.
I don't know.
That's just... I don't... That makes me disbelieve this, you know? Because I think the Z-moves were a more refined gem mechanic.
The gems were Black and White's thing, right?
Yeah, the gems were great. I loved them as a mechanic. I love that format with gems. I think gems were better than Z crystals, to be honest.
Because you can't hit through protect. They don't have secondary effects, but no.
Yeah, and once that, they used. Yeah, you know, I know Z moves were, but you didn't get the fancy dancing, which was
Z moves were just fancy gems. But the last thing on here, which I think was really interesting, is it not being open world but still being 3D, which okay. You know, I don't think people care about it being open world, to be honest.
Nah,
if it was a good remake or a retelling of Unova,
yeah,
I don't really care if it's like I'd rather it run better than it be open world.
Look at Pokemon Legends Arceus, right? That's not open world.
Is it? It is open world, right?
Nah, it's got load screens. You can only go to certain areas. You know, you've got load points really. So you've got like 4 different areas that you can go and visit. They're all big expansive areas, but you know, if you're going into cave areas, there's, you know, in those areas you load in to enter the caves and stuff like that, enter rooms. I think it doesn't matter though, the game experience is still really good. Doesn't need to be seamless open world for me personally. I don't really mind. I like it in Scarlet and Violet, but
I agree
it doesn't make or break the game for me. No,
100%, and I think most people would agree with you. To be honest, I think if there was like, well, we can't have open world, but the game runs amazing. People be like, you know what?
I'm just gonna jump in because I've just remembered what I wanted to say about Thea playing Scarlet and Violet,
and
it is something that I think like it really resonated with me when playing through it with her, because I was like, if this game had voice acting, she would be able to play it. Regardless of being able to read, she's just starting to read, right? But she understands.
You hit another audience, right? You hit
a whole new audience. Yeah, and you get that next generation in, right? And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's just like, if you just had voice acting here, not only like makes it a lot more enjoyable for everyone instead of having to troll through text boxes every game. Yeah, it does, you know, and I think, man, if it was just voice acting in these games, it would be so much better. So I think they've got to do that in the next Pokemon games. Not the next ones that are out, but Gen 10. It's like the one thing, and I know a lot of people have talked about it already, but, you know, covered countless videos on it and topics online, but that was something that really jumped out at me because, you know, it would just make it a lot more enjoyable for that audience or, you know, everyone, I think. But yeah, sorry to jump in there, but yeah, get back, rewind.
No, 100% agree. But no, that's pretty much it for the Black and White 3 stuff. It's one of those things where like we were talking about the DLC for ages, we were speculating this is exactly what it's going to be like, you know. Hopefully once the Indigo disc, you know, we might get a better idea once the Indigo disc is out, you know, once the Hidden Treasures of Area Zero, once that storyline is concluded, we might have a much better idea. You know, they may tease it. You know, we'll probably have a much better idea of what they're going to do. But
considering that we're going to Unova in the Indigo Disc, you know, we're going to the Blueberry Academy, it's in Unova, you feel like they're going to have some Easter eggs in there, and they probably will tease something in regards to it. So
there was one last little thing that I wanted to touch on in terms of just sort of like Nintendo consoles and stuff. So there was a pattern recently that Nintendo put out for a... I'm going to burp. No, I'm not. A dual screen gaming device that can be split in half.
Wow.
Now, everyone in the comments were taking the piss out of it because they were saying, that sounds a lot like a Wii U.
A 3DS.
Or a 3DS. So the top comment on Reddit is like, oh, it's the Switch U. but, you know, sounds really interesting. So this is the article here. Basically saying they patented for a dual screen detachable device.
Oh, wow.
You know, is this for this console? Is it for something else? It would make a lot of sense to have like a dual screen device. I love the 3DS. We've spoken about this a lot. I have a lot of love for the 3DS. I think it's a fantastic console. Here's the recent Nintendo pack and looks an awful lot like a 3DS. but the device can be split in half. The two separate
halves. Is this the actual patent, is it?
This looks like it. Unless they go back to a console, like unless they're like, oh shit, the format for, you know, the 3DS was so good, let's make like a Switch 3DS hybrid where that you can take apart.
Wow.
The two separate halves can communicate wirelessly, allowing two gamers to play on the same device. That would be sick. Essentially have two consoles if you can disconnect it.
That's pretty nuts.
So this is the pattern images, which looks awfully like a 3DS.
That bottom image just is a 3DS, isn't it?
Unless it's a troll. Unless Nintendo are like, you know what, let's pattern this and make it look like we're doing something up. But,
maybe. This
top one looks more like a Switch, right? If you're on the bottom, that looks like a Switch Lite.
Yeah.
Right, so something like that would make sense. Like almost like, a foldable phone. Maybe something like, you know, it's just fucking... Maybe you can, like, it has, like, magnets that deal with the data in the middle. You can turn it around. Like, it sounds like a good gimmick to me, you know? If you could, say, Mario Kart, you just give the other half to your friend, and you basically have two consoles, but not, because, you know.
It's pretty cool. I wonder how that would work for, like, Pokemon battling, you know? If you... It's kind of wild, really, isn't it? You know?
Exciting. Yeah, so, I'm actually really excited. So do they
completely detach?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Wow. Unless they're also making, like, the... whatever the next-gen console is, right? And they're planning on bringing back a handheld console as well. And this is going to be...
the shit out of that, bro. I don't care that you can dock this.
Yeah, because this might be the new Game Boy. You know, they might be like, we're missing a market here, you know? We've got our home console.
Because it's cheaper,
it's a hybrid.
You hit that cheaper market because the console... like, how much was a 3DS when it released?
Like £130.
Yeah, and like, as I mentioned before, right? Oh, wow, really? The retail price in America was $250.
Was that when it first came out?
Yeah, when it first came out.
Wow.
But, you know, think of how many different iterations that they did of the 3DS and how many versions did most people owned more than one 3DS, right? I have three 3DSs, you know, because they weren't expensive. I fucking loved the 3DS, man. I loved it so much.
It was a very cool console.
Even like the DSs and stuff, like I the form factor for me was like perfect.
It was one of the best consoles I think that's ever been made.
But this makes me really, not necessarily just this, but I think, you know, Nintendo, they're good at innovating and coming up with ideas, you know. If you want to, you can throw shade at them. Every company's a bit dodgy. Every company does some things that we're not all going to agree with, but, you know, we don't, you know, not most of us don't run massive companies. We don't know what the decisions are. There's probably a lot of pressure from, like I said, board members, stakeholders to get their money, to get their bonuses. So that probably influences a lot of decisions. But I think the console will be a banger. They've never, like, the Wii U was bad. It wasn't bad, but, you know, they were clearly testing something out for the Switch, it feels like. And I feel like they've kind of nailed this iteration down. So whatever version they do, you know, they might just do an uprated Switch, which most people would buy. They might release that console, whatever the fuck it is, whether it is a small handheld device. So
that's
exciting.
Gonna be wild if it is like that, though. I can't really picture how it would work or the functionality of... I guess it would just be that second screen when you're playing, like a 3DS, where you've got different functionality on that bottom screen if you need it. But you don't necessarily
before,
have
so
to pay. Yeah,
it would be similar.
Very cool.
But
it's more in line with Nintendo, where they like to, you know, it's all about getting other people involved in the game. It's not just doing it yourself; it's doing it with others. You know, the inclusivity of the console, and they had it with the Switch. You know, they had the kickstand, they had share your Joy-Cons around, and everyone kind of got involved and. I think that this would take it to a new level. It's like, oh, wait there, I'm just going to snap my console in half and you can have a screen for yourself.
That'd be so funny.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it. But you're right. Like, I think the one thing with Nintendo is you can guarantee that, you know, they're gonna, it's not like Sony or Microsoft with Xbox, where it's gonna be, yeah, the console might look slightly different. It might look a little bit more modern than the last one, but there's no innovation there with the console itself. There's no innovation. The only innovative console creator is Nintendo. Oh,
yeah. You know? Well, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. That's what makes... I think that is why they've been so successful for so long. Because they do shit that no one else is doing and makes you go, holy shit, I want to buy this.
You know?
So, exciting times. It gets somewhat speculation, but, you know, in a year's time, I'm sure we'll keep speculating, in the lead up to what's going on. But, you know... That, as we mentioned, it feels like they're going to have to announce the Switch at some point in the first half of next year. They're doing the second gen, whatever the fuck it is, if it's that or whatever. They got to announce it soon, because they announced it like 4 months before it was released before. And if they want it to release before Christmas, they'd have to announce it in like July. Because they'd probably drop it in like November, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to release it to coincide with the Pokemon game.
Yeah, you've got Tears of the Kingdom Switch. Just to kind of hop on topic. Tears of the Kingdom, the OLED version, £300 right now, brand new. The newest version of the Switch, just the regular one, not the OLED one, £240 reduced to right now.
From 280.
Yeah. The Switch console... with the Ring Fit Adventure bundle, £200. That's crazy. That's the Switch and the Ring Fit Adventure for £200.
That's good value.
That's insane. Yeah, you've got so many bundles right now.
Do you know what? To do as well, which I think would be amazing? Release a free game. Do fucking Wii Sports again. I know they've done it. They did it with every single console. Why the fuck they didn't release Switch Sports as a free title? Maybe because they knew they were going to Breath of the Wild, but again, they only had like one game when they first come out, so yeah, that'd be sick. But, you know, so much hope. I wonder, it'd be interesting revisiting this. You know, we should write a list of the things we want and then revisit it when we actually get it.
Yeah, that's cool though. I'm pleased you found that painting though. That's that is very interesting for what it'd be on the horizon. I think just being backwards compatible and knowing that we're going to have a seamless transition between this account and the new console is just enough for me to be like, I'm feeling quite good about playing it or getting it, because I know I'm going to have this back catalog already of games that I can take and play on there, and hopefully they'll run a lot better on this new console than they currently do on the one that we're playing on.
I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like we touched on a lot of the game side of stuff. So, you know,
we haven't we?
We mentioned at the start, you know, there's TCG. There are TCG fans out there. We like there to are. Collect shit. Everyone likes to collect stuff, man. So, yeah, Paradox Rift come out. You know, obviously we have 151. I feel like the hype kind of that, you know, as we said before, you can get hold of 151 stuff. We knew it was going to happen. It's really easy to get. It's not like, okay, there might be, the prices might be slightly inflated, but that's just Pokemon cards in general. You can get hold of it. The pull rates are really shit. We got some at Lille, and we mentioned it on the pod. It was shit.
I don't even think the chase cards in it are that great, to be honest.
I agree.
I like the Erica cards, but I'm a big Erica fan anyway. This is before the 151 set dropped, you know, Erica's Hospitality from Malda sets. But yeah, I just think there isn't really, like, the Zapdos card, I'm not really that fussed about that. I feel like it's not really a stained birds card, you know, a promo that we got on like Hidden Fates. It's not any better than that, in my opinion, but who am I to judge? But yeah, Paradox Rift has some very nice cards, but
too many secret rares.
Lots of them. We did touch upon this in Lille and I walked through the rainy streets, but yeah, I think everything's been revealed now, hasn't it, from this set?
Yeah. Well, pre-releases have been out, so...
Oh yeah, of course, yeah, yeah.
These are all the English cards, and then obviously all the gorgeous artwork. You know, like I said, like, the secret rares are cool. I picked up another thing I mean, you've seen it already, but I'm going to talk about this in a sec. But I picked up some cards at Comic-Con, but once they started doing these, full art secret rares, you know, they've done some really cool cards. And I picked up, I can't remember what set it was from, Scarlet and Violet, I think, or something, like this Riolu card. I don't know if you can see it. The light. Ah, come on.
The glare
is
us.
Unreal.
Is that from Paldea Evolved? Is that from Base?
Can you see that?
Kind of. I know the card that you mean.
Yeah. If I turn it down, what is it? There you go. This one.
Beautiful.
£5 that was. And it's mint as well. It's a Japanese one, mind you, but it's mint.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, I picked that up because I was like, I said, just a card that I wanted to do. And I want to get it graded by, they're called, what are they called? ARS or something. What's grading? It's not ARS. It is ARS grading. And I found out, like, the waiting list, like, they're not like PSA where you can just send stuff off to them. They have, like, okay, we're open now. You can send stuff to us. And the next one isn't until next year.
Wow.
Because I was looking on their website, and it translates to, yeah, next reception schedule date is around February 2024. Because I wanted to get this graded, because the grading slabs, as we talked about in the before, like, if you Google it, the Japanese graded Pokemon card.
The slabs are nice.
Really nice.
Upside down compared to our slabs. Like, their labels are on the bottom, right?
Yes, I mean, look at these absolute beauty.
And the grading's on the back of the slab, opposed to on the front. Kind of weird.
Why is it? Oh, what the fuck? Oh, open link in a new tab.
Yeah.
There we go.
They're nice.
Why is it not? Okay, my thing's just had a fit. Oh, because it's all done it there. Oh, hang on. There we go. Sorry, it took ages. Yeah, it's just this different slab design they have. I think it's a little, like a metal, little graded thing here down the bottom. But yeah, so I don't care about the grade of this. I just want a different, because that's half the reason why I get my cars graded, is just because I think it's one of the nicest ways to display them. So,
I agree. Yeah, that's cool.
I want to get that done, basically. But yeah, Parallel Swift, too many secret rares, but again, amazing artwork. Some of the artwork is shit. You got Larry. Everyone loves Larry.
Norman as well. You got to get Norman.
Norman as well. Yep. You know, some fantastic artwork. Again, this cartoon is really nice.
Goldingo.
We know everyone loves the Goldingo. These gold cards are shit. I'm sorry. These are awful gold cards. But all the other cards are really nice.
Erica is just being spammed.
Because they
so
love,
much at the minute.
People love Erica. I think they love him in Japan as well.
Yeah, she's big over in Japan, like all waifus. But Erica seems to be like top of the tree for. Yeah, well, she's the OG, isn't she? Really, you know, Flower Lady from is it Celadon?
Yeah,
I think Celadon. You're saying that like you're like yeah.
No, it's definitely from Gen 1, right?
Yeah, I think it's Celadon City, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Oak will kill me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Erica, the cards are nice, the set. I don't know if I'll be picking any up, to be honest.
Right.
I might pick a few singles up. But it's been like a kind of the same thing.
Nothing
through most
exciting.
Of the Scarlet, the Scarlet and Violet card sets. I've not really been massively into picking up many things from the newer sets, to be honest. Like I've already talked about, I'm not going to kind of harp on about it. I just think it's getting just flooded with the same sort of thing set after set, and I'm just not... It's not different to the stuff that we've not had before, which is probably what's not keeping my interest in it at the minute. Not to say it's the cards aren't nice. There are some really nice cards, but I've got that pull that I had with even the Sword and Shield.
I agree.
You know,
we've been looking at a lot of old cards recently, haven't we?
Yeah.
You know, we've been picking up a lot of old cards, and these are some of the, at least seen these already, but I'll show you guys some of the cards that I picked up recently. This is Kanazawa. Pokemon Center Yuka. Promo. Oh my god, what is up with this fucking... all the way down. Is that better? You see that? Yeah, so this is one of the promos. I think the artwork's really nice. Why I wanted it. Picked this up for 40 quid. Really liked it. And then obviously we had the special illustration Nagaba collaboration with the Eevees and the Pikachu, and I couldn't resist. I went and got the Pikachu. These cards are actually really interesting. Not the Pikachu, but the Eeveelutions right now. So if you're thinking about collecting cards, especially if you like those Eeveelutions, you can get them graded on eBay for like 10s, PSA 10s for like, at the moment.
You can't get them graded through eBay, just to clarify.
No,
you
no,
can
no.
pick
you
up
can pick
the graded
up
ones.
Cards.
eBay's not a grading service, don't.
No.
Don't send your cards to eBay.
You can pick up 10s on eBay right now for like 30, 40 quid for most
yeah,
of the Eeveelutions.
Yeah.
So,
that's even the Umbreon as well, which is that's a nice little set to get. And I think they're going to be cards that will, you know, there's a lot that have been graded, but they're gonna be sought after in years to come. So it's a good little investment, I think, if you're wanting to pick them up.
It's so hard to predict, right? You know, we were talking about this the other day, and I found a nice card that I quite like the look of. It was a promo card they released for Scarlet and Violet, right? Again, leading us to the story. So it is, let's have a look, Scarlet. It's a Japanese one, Scarlet and Violet promo card.
Which one is this?
You know the one I'm talking about. This one.
Which one?
Oh,
does he keep
know.
Us in suspense?
Ooh. So this card, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, again, this is a promo card that you can pick up relatively cheapish. Like, you can get an ungraded one between, like, 10 and 25 quid, depending on where you get it from. I was like, I like the artwork of this. Let me see how much graded one is. And you can pick up graded ones between, like, 40 and 50 quid. So I picked one up. Arrived the other day. And I was so excited, right? Because it was in, like, come in, it was still in the original, like, sleeve, right? So when you get a PSA card, if you've never had one, it's not really anything special. It comes in like just a plastic sleeve. So it hadn't even been taken out of that yet because the guy had it graded and, you know, just get put in the box to sell. And so I was like, this is like wicked, right? And so, you know, I was admiring it. I didn't even want to take the cellophane off, basically. I was like, I'll keep it as it is, you know, as like a collector's piece. And then as I'm putting it in my display cabinet, I was like, that looks a bit weird. Bear in mind, this is a Gem Mint 10, right? So this is meant to be a mint card. One of the corners was bent. And I was like, there's no way this is real. And I'm not staring at it. I was like, turned it over, and I was like, holy shit, it's bent. Then I looked at one of the other corners, and it had like a small scuff on it. I was like, how is this possible? This is a 10. So we went and checked the scans, and you can see it in the scans. So I'm going to show you guys a picture now, if I can. Right, get it up. Nope, that's the wrong one. How do I... Hang on, let me add a display cap.
Yeah, basically, if you get anything graded by PSA, they'll scan in the card. So the authentication number that you get on the actual card will be... you'll be able to go to the authenticator section on the PSA website and type that number in, and you'll be able to actually see a scan of the card when it was done, so you know it's authentic, you know. But you can see from the image here, I don't know if you can blow that up a bit, but the top right-hand corner, it is dinged properly. There's no way if you send that to PSA or any other grader, you'd get a 10 with that ding in it, because that is a huge ding right
this,
there.
This little thing that, here.
That's some good zooming, mate. Yeah,
some good
but
zooming,
yeah.
baby.
And you can actually go onto the PSA website and the authenticator. We just did it before the pod to have a look. And plug it in and pull the actual images up of it, the scan on the PSA website. And you
after
can visibly see, after it's been graded, you can visibly see the ding on the PSA website of this card as a PSA 10 with 10. That ding in it. And it's like, what? Like, my only explanation is they graded it, and then when they were putting it into the case, they dropped it and dinged it and were like, oh dear, this was a 10. Like, what do we do? Should we just, we'll just put it in, pretend nothing happens, and send it and hope? Yeah, I don't know, but terrible. Terrible. So, but the nice thing is, it wasn't the seller's fault.
It wasn't the seller's fault.
No, and the seller, from all accounts, from what you've told me, sounds very nice and is sending a replacement, right?
Yep, yep. So, sent the old one back to them, and then, yeah, so I get that. It's just so weird. Like, I've never heard of, like, a dinged up card. Like, because I was saying to Layla, imagine if I kept that card and in 10 years' time it was worth, like, $5,000. And I go, oh, I've got that card. And I go to look at it, and it's got a dink on the corner, and I'd just be gutted. Absolutely gutted.
There's no one's going to buy that. Value.
It's not a 10. Yeah. It's not a 10.
No.
So,
it's so, so, so bad. But, yeah. There's always a risk, I think, with grading your cards. But so, even with PSA, even with the top graders. But
even
yeah.
with the top dogs. So I've got one more thing to show you guys on the topic of TCG. On to Scott's goodie bag now, because I think we've touched on most of the topics, unless there's anything else you want to say, really.
There is not much. I think not that we've not talked about this week. It's been fun. I'm dying to see this goodie bag. Let's get it open.
So it's technically the same thing. You'll see what I mean in a minute, but I've got two different examples of it. It's kind of valueless, but I just thought it was fucking sick. Because I don't know how this person did this. Basically, someone on the subreddit posted a picture of their... They made a quarter scale 151 ETB with all the cards and everything. So this is a 151 ETB at a quarter scale. So it's a quarter of the size of a 151 ETB, right? So that's a penny.
Wow. What?
And like, he's done like all the packs inside and all the cards as well.
No way. That's amazing.
So like,
sure, this isn't Photoshop. This looks too good to be.
No, because he's got another example, right? Look at all this shit, man. These are all small cards. There's no way this is Photoshopped. These are all teeny tiny cards.
No, but what I'm saying is, he could have just taken, this could just be a regular size ETB, and you just take a picture of this and just claim like these are the small ones, and then just have.
I don't think so. It looks.
And then you just Photoshop a penny next to a normal ETB and just make the penny bigger. Like that. That's way more.
Okay, you're right. But then look at this example they did. He did a base set example, right? So he made miniature base set.
It
looks small. I don't know, you're right, but these cards obviously don't look real, though, do they?
No, they don't look real. I mean...
This doesn't look real, the box doesn't look real. I get what you're saying, and it could easily be Photoshop, but I love the idea of someone going through all this effort to do that.
I mean, it's very cool. I just feel like it's so much effort, and it looks so...
But there's a reflection on the box. There's no, like, the effort to go through to Photoshop. I don't know, man. Let us know what you think. Like, you could fake it, I guess, but...
The other thing
really
is,
real.
They just have a really big coin, right? They just have a huge, oversized coin.
But these cards are obviously fake, but unless they're doing that to throw us off.
But this box, because there's not, like, loads of them, right?
But that doesn't look like a real box. You can tell by the way the thing is.
No, but that could be, like, you could pick that up from, like, you could potentially go, you know, I'm not going to name countries or anything, but we all know places we can go to pick up fake Pokemon products, right? You could easily go somewhere like that and see them, and then just make, like, how many cards are there? Two? Well, I don't know, like, 12 cards there? You could just make 11, those, 11 make cards. Make the wrapper, and then just be like, oh, yeah, like, the whole box is full of them when it's not... I don't know.
Why are you shitting on my goodie bag? I mean, I was excited to show you this. You're right. I agree with you.
It's so good. I just feel like it's so good. I feel like it's too good to be true.
Here we go. Oh, no, Lomao. The guy was like, fake. You can't get three holos from a single booster.
Of course it's fake, though. Like,
you're right. This could have been... You know what? This could have been mid-journeyed.
Now, it could have been.
This could have been mid-journeyed. And it was like,
it's very good, though.
Can you just like make me like a miniature? I think it's really cool regardless, even if it's not real. Yeah. I just thought it was really cute and was like, I wanted to show you.
Yeah, I like it. It's a very good goodie bag. But like that image there, right?
Yeah.
To show that that is a different size from normal, right? I think that could be just the contents of
the cars. Look off though. I mean, look at the off cut here, like where he's clearly cut them. Like the corners aren't rounded properly.
And it's a lot of effort to make that many cards. And to be fair, like are the boosters not sealed? Are they not sealed boosters?
Don't know. They could be empty.
Well, they could be. I mean, it's just like a lot of effort to make.
You're right. There's a lot. But then look, this is clearly a fake card here. Fuck knows.
Why have you made the energies? Why have you made the energy? I mean, if you're doing it, you're a completionist, right? So you're going to do everything in there. I just feel like...
I agree with you. I do agree with you, but yeah, I don't know. This is like this is like the gold dress, blue dress. What is it? Is it real?
Yeah.
Let us know in the comments. What do you guys think?
I think the guy has a huge oversized novelty coin, and that's what he's using as a prop. Or like Scott said, I think it's like Midjourney on AI. It's generated that.
Yep.
So, I would love to think that someone sat there for months crafting this miniature. How long's 151 been out as well? It's not been out that long. They have got to have that out, the release, the contents of that, and then just started straight away. That's not going to be a quick thing. You're not going to be doing that in a few days. That is a big project. Like, you're bagging energy cards after you've made them.
Yeah, I can't wrap my head around that. That seems a bit sketch. But
how many energy cards are there in one of those packs? It must 60. Be like, yeah. That's 60.
The rest could be fake, though. You could just have one on the top, and then the rest could just be cardboard.
They've went so far as to make a little, like, 151 booklet. I think they probably went as far as to make, like, on my logic, I think they've made each individual energy card, all 60 of them. I don't know.
I think you might be right. But we'll see. Well, we're never going to know, but, you know.
We're never going to know.
If you're watching this, let us know. If you know the person who did this, what's
get them on.
Get them on the pod. I want to know exactly how you did this. Why did you do this? Why did you spend all this time? But yeah.
Yeah. Good nonetheless. Either way, fake or real, it's very entertaining.
It feels good to be back. Feels good to be back. I feel this has been a good episode this week.
Is that it? We haven't got two goodie bags.
No, well, those are the two goodie bags. I told you they were similar.
I feel let down now.
I know, I'm sorry. There wasn't really else that I wanted to touch on.
I don't even have a goodie bag. It's not my bag. Scott's bag. I don't even have a goodie bag to go over. But that no, it has. It's been good to be back, mate. It's very good to be back. I've enjoyed this week. It's been very good. We've got some nice news to talk about. We've covered some really interesting topics, touched on some good things as well to do with upcoming stuff like we always like to do. And we finished off with that nice little... Is it real or is it fake?
Yeah, baby. Let us know what you think in the comments. And if you've made it this far, thank you very much for starters. And also, if you could leave us a like, that would be very much appreciated. You know, and leave a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And let us know what you thought. Again, we love a bit of feedback. We love a bit of feedback.
Yeah. And I think as well, for future weeks when we got downtime, we could do just on specific topics, maybe go back in time in Pokemon franchise and look at certain things, stuff like that.
People did mention that. We could even do like mini episodes of like, we just discuss something for like half an hour.
This was Pokemon. Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, be good.
Be good. Excellent. Anything you want to say before we sign off?
No. I did fix my Pokemon Emerald cartridge. I did soldering, and I soldered back.
Damn.
The flash.
DIY
the
flash daddy.
Chip. The flash chip. The legs on it. You know, how fine they are. One of the flash, like, legs on the chip had come away, and I soldered. I made a mess of it the first time, so I had to get rid of all of it, and then I resoldered it all, and it works, and it's perfect, and I'm very happy about it.
Amazing,
That's it. But yeah, nothing actual of substance or interest to finish off on. Just a massive thank you to everyone that has made it this far, and thank you to you, Scott, as well, mate. It's been
likewise
pleasure. And the Toon Army once again won last night, beating Man United at Old Trafford. No. At Old Trafford. So I feel like we need to record the pods after every time. We're playing Dortmund in Dortmund next Wednesday. So I look forward to next week's podcast where I'll be celebrating another win for Eddie Howe's Black and White Army. Even though we're not a football podcast, I'm very excited about it. And I just wanted to throw that in there. And I appreciate you giving me the airtime to do that.
I may have muted you for part of that. but yes, the Toon Army did win. Okay. That's for our football podcast. Eventually, we'll be on touching that. But thank you guys for listening. Let's not get too deterred. And we'll see you for episode 30. 30 episodes, can you believe it?
That's amazing. I'm trying not to talk because I'm just going to keep carrying this on and on. I've got an issue.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
See you later, guys.